WTBQ.
Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget that we are also 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing well today. And I want to say to Frank Fenario that we're definitely going to miss you. Great show. We're definitely going to miss you around here. You had a wonderful 7 years, and we will see and hear from you soon, I am sure. And one of the things that Frank was talking about on his show were casinos, which of course is a big thing here in the Hudson Valley. And he was talking about poverty and the workers and how much jobs the casinos would bring. And that's a little bit what we're going to talk about right now with my guest, Mike Rose. Mike Rose is the author of 11 books. He is definitely a scholar. He has been named one of the top 50 U.S. scholars. He has been featured on the Bill Moyers World of Ideas, NPR Weekend. He writes for the Washington Post, the Huffington Post, the Chronicle of Higher Education. Certainly he knows what he's talking about. And in those 11 books, we have talked about a few of his books before. And today we're going to talk about The Mind at Work, Valuing the Intelligence of the American Worker. And these are really important issues today that I think we have to talk about and look at and really value the average, everyday working guy, because it's such the backbone of our society. And I want to welcome Mike Rose to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Fine, and thanks for having me on again, Shannon.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here again. This is a wonderful little book that really values the American worker, that says that people that work with their hands, people that work in restaurants, hairdressers, you know, people who work in construction, all those things that really truly are the backbone of society, really have a lot of value, and that they are very intelligent. We in this society tend to think intelligent is equated with education, and certainly the more education you get, the more intelligent you can be on one hand, but you're not unintelligent to be working everyday jobs. Now, you are an educator. You educate people. Would you ever say to someone, you don't need an education, you can just be a waitress forever? Why do we have that dichotomy, and where do you fit into that?
Well, you know, this all comes from a very personal place for me. You're right. I'm at the Graduate School of Education at UCLA, and
You have a PhD,
right? Done all this stuff, but my background is with exactly the kind of work you're talking about. I'm the first in my family to go to college, and all of my forebears worked in the heavy smokestack industries. You know, in steel, auto, rail before it started to decline, and my mother was a career waitress her whole life. So this work is very close to me. It made my life possible, and when I was a kid, I would watch these folks do this incredible work with such competence, and it just, you know, I was so impressed by what it took to do it, but mm-hmm. also I realized that it kept a roof over our heads.
Right.
So it's a kind of live in both worlds, I guess.
Do you think that we need more vocational schools? I often have said that I think that instead of pushing everybody to college and to, you know, to have an education that some people just don't want, don't care about, and could do better with just maybe being a plumber, being whatever that we can learn. I think we need more vocational schools. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think here's what I think. I think everybody, of course, needs to get a strong basic education so that, you know, they can be in a position to make those decisions.
Right.
If they do want to go to college, then that should be open to them. If, on the other hand, they want to pursue some kind of an occupation, that needs to be open to them. And that's going to require a strong basic skills education. And to your point about the vocational programs and curricula, I think what we need to do is to continue to try and make them better. Because, Shannon, when you look back over the history of vocational education in the United States, it's a kind of spotty history. I mean, there's been reports ever since its beginnings in the 1920s and 30s, there's been reports questioning how well it prepares people for work and how strong the content is. And that's not to deny that there's been really terrific programs all the way along. But by and large, what you have people today trying to do is figure out how do you provide a strong occupational education that also really honors the intellectual content of the work, which I guess is what I'm trying to demonstrate in The Mind at Work. As you said in the lead, you know, it takes a lot of smarts to do this work.
Oh, it does. Oh, there's absolutely no question. And we should honor those smarts. I mean, when you build a house, that is hard work. When you do plumbing, I have a friend whose husband is an electrician, and she's educated, and she said, but I could never do what he does. You know, maybe he could figure out eventually what I do, but I could never figure out how to do the electricity, and I'm with her. Those things are completely foreign to me and seem really hard. So it certainly takes a brain to do that, but we don't honor that in this country. Do you think that that is part of why we have this very, we're having more and more class, what do I say, imbalance in the country, and that people don't want to be that, or do we not honor, you know, basic workers? Do we say, geez, you're doing that because you didn't get an education? Maybe they're doing that because they want to, and the money is good, and that's something they like. Do we just undervalue them?
Gee, you know, I'm so glad you brought this aspect up of this whole discussion. And that is that I think that this, how to put it, this kind of separation that we make in our heads mm-hmm. between folks who do white-collar and blue-collar work, and just this kind of automatic assumption that if you're doing white-collar or professional work, you're automatically smarter. I think that mindset, that assumption, does contribute to some of our cultural divides. And, you know, it's long-standing, Shannon. That's the thing that's so funny. In a country that has such a strong democratic orientation and a strong egalitarian sense of itself, you can go all the way back to the late 18th century, early 19th century, and you can find editorials, for example, that, you know, say that mechanics, for instance, that mechanics are illiterate and they shouldn't be allowed to vote. So there's this kind of long-standing strain in our culture where we demean folks who work with their hands. And I do think that today it does help contribute to some of our cultural divides.
Do you think that those that do work with their hands, you said earlier, should have a good education to make this decision, but how often do you see somebody who works as a waitress or someplace, it's because they didn't get an education, and people will say, well, you know, you're doing this now, but you should go get an education so you can do something better. That there's always that connotation that if you educated yourself, you wouldn't have to do these low-level jobs. You know, could we educate people, and could they still do these low-level jobs, unquote, unquote, and do it with intelligence and not be looked at negatively? I mean, in other words, if they have a good education, can they still make these choices and make great choices doing that so we don't look at them the same?
Well, you know, again, we're getting to something that I think makes America what it is, and that is that folks should have these choices along the way. I mean, we are a country of second and third chances. So let's take two different scenarios, right? In one case, somebody wasn't able to finish high school, let's say, for whatever reason, and becomes a waitress or does basic construction work. And, you know, maybe in that person's 20s or 30s or 40s even decides, you know what, I want to go back to school.
Right.
And fortunately, we have the possibility for people to do that in the community college system, for example. The flip side of that is kind of fascinating because we're seeing that happen today, too, and that is people who, you know, enter the white-collar world right out of college and after some time find it empty or find the work unchallenging or there's something inside them that's not fulfilled. And so we do have these cases of folks who are leaving those kinds of occupations and entering the crafts and trades. One of the people that on a call-in show, when I was talking about this book, one of the folks called in who had done exactly that, and he had the most interesting phrase. He said, "We've gotten trapped in our heads," and he left, you know, a good white-collar job to become a cabinet maker.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's there really is something. And I think everybody who's ever worked those kind of jobs or worked with their hands, there's something very rewarding about working with your hands and feeling like you've put in a good day's worth of work other than just sitting at a desk, which, of course, can be a different sort of ways of work. Now, in this book, you profile the people. You actually look what it's like to be a hairdresser and a waitress. And you realize that it's not that easy, that it takes some intelligence, and this is not a stupid sort of thing to do. Who did you write this book for? It's a very sociological perspective. It's kind of, and it says this, is kind of like Nickel and Dimed. And if anyone's ever read that book, it doesn't portray it as well. Nickel and Dimed does not portray this world as well as you do. You looked at it very positively. Right. Who did you write this book for?
Right. Well, at heart, I wanted to tell a good story. And I hope I did. And I wrote it for lots of folks. You know, I wrote it for the general readers, and you know, that's why you can pick it up in bookstores, right? So I wrote it for the general reader. I also wrote it, you know, for an education audience, because those are my readers, and I wrote it as well for the folks who do the work.
Right.
It's so interesting to me how many letters or emails, phone calls I've gotten from people who say something like this. You know, I gave a copy of this to my hairstylist because I thought that she would really like it, and it turns out that, you know, that the person really does. Or, gosh, I'm sitting here at a lunch counter in Manhattan, and I'm watching this waitress, and I'm looking at her in a whole new light, having read this book. So I wrote it for, you know, I guess a number of folks, but I want to just say that, touching on something you said a moment ago, that the doing of it was just so remarkable. I spent 6 years just hanging out with, you know, everybody from hairstylists to carpenters to folks in a welding shop, watching what they do, asking questions, talking to them afterwards, just trying to get a real sense of everything that goes into doing the work well.
You know, I think that every teenager should read this book, because I think at different times in our lives, we do different things. And certainly when you're younger, maybe older or whatever, my grandfather worked for a company for 50 years and then retired and then did some of this sort of work. Many of us did it when we were in college or whatever. My daughter's waitressing now in college. I mean, I think it's important to look at this work as valuable as opposed to something to throw away, and that it comes in all of our lives at different times. So I think this is a really good book for teenagers to read, and to appreciate everyone around us that's working to contribute to society. Studs Terkel said that this book knocked him out. And he's right. It's really a wonderful book. You've really done a wonderful tribute, not just to the workers, but I think to the whole tapestry of America, and looking at it positively instead of negatively. And I'd like everyone to read this book to look at it that way. Mike Rose, thank you so much for joining us here today. The book is The Mind at Work, Valuing the Intelligence of the American Worker. Everything you hear is on Shannon's Corner, so you can go there, and I have a direct link to your website. But it's a wonderful book. You write wonderful books, and I hope to have you on again about some of your other books. We've talked before, and you do great work, so I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, Shannon, thanks. That's a lovely way to go out. I appreciate
it's
that.
It's terrific.
Thank
it's
you.
Really true. You're terrific. I love what you do. It's great. Everyone, it's The Mind at Work, Mike Rose. We have to take a break, and we come back.